Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Go with me to Galatians in the 6th chapter. I know you know where it's at. And as we get ready to launch into the Word of God today, again, I want to encourage you to listen closely. This is a vitally important message. Now listen just to the title, Looking Good for Men. There's a lot of people that look good just to be seen. In fact, our whole society wants to look good. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to look good, do you? I mean, we spend fortunes in the shopping centers. There's all kinds of fads. There's all kinds of popular things that people do to look good. I don't think that's wrong, but when looking good becomes your motive for existence, especially looking good becomes something that is important to you, more important than the things of God, then all of a sudden you and I are in a place of trouble. I don't want you to know, as we go to these verses today, I'm going to read them to you and I'm going to explain them to you. But before I read and explain to you, let me set you up because of what Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yes, it's Paul, a man, but it's the Holy Spirit behind him. Therefore, it's more than just the man, it's God speaking to you and I. And when we come to a conclusion and realize that God wants to share something with us, something about how to live life and who we are, who he is, and what to do. In other words, this is a handbook, a manual, if you will, on how to live life. And God had it pinned, and listen to this, he preserved the word of God for you for thousands of years at the cost of many people's lives. So this is a very important verses that have to do with your personal future with God. And you're going to have to listen closely. Paul, if you remember, let me rewind your thinking just a little bit. The whole book of Galatians is based on Paul really being frustrated. He's like, if I've told you before, I'll tell you again, he's like beating on the table. He's so angry with these providence of Galatia. And the providence of Galatia is where the churches were. Churches that started in the spirit, but ended up in the flesh. That started out with faith in God, but now are being wooed back to ceremonial rituals, traditions of men, and the rules and regulations that go with it, and tying the people up, keeping them in bondage from being in the things of God. Now that's a history thought, but yet it's been preserved for you and I, because you and I could be wooed from men that look good so that we never get to the place where we need to get to, but we follow the wrong person to the wrong place, ending up in the wrong place, not getting blessed, and then complaining to God, I just thought I was doing the right thing when you weren't. And that's what Scripture's all about. And today, as we look at the word of the Lord, here God is doing something. He is literally making a statement, not just about the church in the Galatia, but he's also saying, you and I, today in this church, we could be really wooed away. We could really be tricked away from the things of God if we don't know what to look for. And that's what he is saying. If he says these words, if he says anything, he says, you know, these people got off track. Someone took them off track. Who was it that bewitched you, he says, you foolish Galatians? You started in the spirit with God, in faith, and then here comes someone saying, it's okay to be a Christian, but just follow a bunch of rules, regulations, and traditions of men. Get back in the Jewish ceremonial ritual, which never got the job done in the first place. The only access you and I'll ever have with God is by faith. Not by some rules and regulations. Why do we as humans want to follow a bunch of rules and regulations and traditions of men? You know why? Because if we follow them, we feel good about ourselves. We're sure we're in the right place. And the only way you'll ever be sure about being in the right place is by faith in who God is. And so he's telling these people this. And he comes along and he makes this statement, and I want you to hear this out of verse number 11 in the sixth chapter of Galatians. Listen closely. It's really powerful for your future growth. In verse number 11, he says this, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." First of all, let me explain this verse. This verse has had so much controversy over the years, it's like nuts. Do you know what Paul is really saying in these verses? "I wrote it myself with big letters." Hello. He is not saying, "I'm losing my eyesight and I'm blind." Who in the world ever came up with that assumption theology in the first place? You can see that Paul is a sick person because he's writing it himself. You can see that Paul is a blind person because he has to have big letters. My goodness, who would ever make statements like that? You have to be a spiritual moron to decipher that from Scripture. And yet it runs through the church to this day. Here's what Paul said. "I wrote it myself instead of someone else writing it for me. That I talked to. I didn't have a secretary write it. And when I print with big letters." Hello. Verse number 12 is where I want to go with you, but watch this. In verse number 12, it says this, "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh." Stop right there. As many, there's a lot of people that have a desire to have a good showing, look good. They want the approval, recognition, acceptance of men. And they want to feel good about themselves, and they don't give a flip whether it's good for you or not as long as they're approved by men. And they'll tell you whatever needs to be told you so that you'll latch your wagon to them and find yourself a derelict someday. He says these words again. Listen, "As many as desire to make good showing in the flesh, these guys and people would compel you to be circumcised," follow the Jewish law, "only that they may not suffer the persecution of the cross." In other words, they don't want to suffer anything. They don't want to pay the price for anything. He goes on, makes a statement, verse number 13, and he says it like this. Listen to verse 13, he says, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law." You remember the Bible said when one part of the law is broken, all of it's broken? So he makes it say, not only those who are circumcised keep the law, but those who desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. In other words, they feel good about themselves if you follow them. May I say something? We're not here to follow man. We're here to follow God. But we're such sheep, we're always looking for a hero. We're always looking for someone to look good. We're always looking for somebody who has some kind of gift, something that's going on. And I want you to know something. If you'll take heed to what God says, you'll not be off track. Listen, there are people out there that want to trick you so they can feel good about themselves. And I want you to know something, that we get warnings in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Do you remember in the Old Testament when the prophet Samuel was told by God that he's had it with the first king of Israel? His name was Saul. He said, "I'm finished with Saul. I'm going to anoint myself a man after my own heart. And this man is found in the bloodline of Jesse, one of his sons. Go to Jesse's house." So Samuel picks up his stuff, goes to Jesse's house. There Jesse parades his sons in front of the prophet Samuel. And Samuel is looking at these guys. Hey, they look good. And he is saying, "Surely this must be the one. Look how big he is. Oh, surely this guy walks like a king. Well, surely this guy talks like a king. He's got the wisdom of a king. Wow, he looks pretty good." But God says something in the Old Testament for you and I to understand even today. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse number 7. God is speaking to the prophet Samuel. And he says these words, "Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look at his appearance or his height or his stature, because I have refused him. Then he makes a statement that's brilliant. Listen to this. You're talking about man's appearance and following men that look good or talk good or act good. You know, they all sound pretty good. I'll follow the one that's the biggest guy. You know, and all of a sudden we make a mistake. We're looking at the outside instead of the inside. For the Lord does not see as men see. How does men see? Here it tells you. For men look at the outward appearance. And don't we always look at the outward appearance? For the Lord looks at the heart. And that's what this is really all about. Is that these Galatians and the church called The Rock and San Bernardino were smart. We wouldn't let things go by us and just accept it as okay and from God. In fact, Jesus warns us brilliantly in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse number 27. Go ahead and pop it up. Let's say, woe to you Pharisees and scribes. Now the Pharisees and scribes, guys, were the religious leaders. They were the ones that were the head of, if you will, the church. And he says, woe to you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs. Now you don't know what a whitewashed tomb looks like. You'd have to be in Israel to see it, but I've seen them. They're like big giant coffin boxes. And they're cut out of stone, and they lay a body in it. And they're not below the ground like here in our cemeteries, they're above the ground. And what they did is they would wash them with white paint, whitewash. And then the outside, the big old coffin box looked pretty good, but on the inside, there's nothing but a dead, rotten old bones on the inside are good for nothing. Jesus comes along, talks to the religious leaders in the New Testament, and he says these words, you hypocrites. You're nothing like a whitewashed tomb, which indeed appears beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. In other words, wow. And Jesus makes it very clear that in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, we ought to keep our eyes on some things of our life so we don't get tricked to get off course with God. I don't want to serve God the wrong way and end up in the wrong place. I don't want to serve God man's way and end up a derelict with God. I want to serve God God's way. I want to follow God God's way. I don't want anybody to come along and trick me. So here comes God making a statement to all of us in the New Testament. He makes it very clear to us that you and I need to watch ourselves or we'll be tricked just like the Galatians. That's why he preserved the Word of God for us. So my time with God, in order not to be tricked, there's some things that we need to look for. God shared this with my heart to share with you. What to look for. Three areas that I want to share with you today that are very simple on what to look for. If you make this a priority when you're looking for someone to speak into your life, listen to me now. Someone is going to speak into your life, whether it's no one at all. And you say, I'm not letting anybody, then you're speaking into your own life. Someone's going to come along. Kellogg's Corn Flakes wants to speak in your life. Ford Motor Company wants to speak into your life. Viagra, if you're over 55, wants to speak into your life. Somebody's always wanting to speak into your life. Tell you something, to do something, to be something. And I want you to know something. If you're going to let someone speak into your life, then there ought to be some things for you as a Christian ought to look for. Number one, I love this. Look and see the fruit. No fruit? Get out of there. Now, a lot of people don't understand what fruit is. Fruit is the production of that which represents God. Not what represents man. Let me say it again. Fruit is the production of that which represents God. It's something that builds God in the people so the people are more like imitators of God than they are of man. Is anybody listening? Fruit is not something that just appears for a moment and then is gone. Fruit is something that's lasting and keeps on building. and keeps on encouraging. And when your organization or a man or a person who's trying to speak in your life has no fruit of the things of God in his own life, as well as building it into the people's lives, may I say this to you? It'll never work. I can't even imagine someone following someone who doesn't have fruit in his life and you hope that he's going to build fruit in your life. When you follow someone who's not going anywhere, you're not going anywhere. When you follow someone who has no fruit, you'll have no fruit. I can't even imagine in American churches how sometimes our religious leaders will run off with their secretaries or some sexual thing going on inside of a congregation and the congregation doesn't miss a beat. I would be out of that place so fast. I do not want a man like that to tell me how to get close to God when he can't even get close to God. And yet we in American church are so stupid, we'll just follow anybody with a gift. And he may have a speaking gift or a memory gift or a communication gift or may even have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You want to follow someone with a gift? Hollywood's full of them, but it's not God. And we chase everything we have except the production of God in people's lives. We chase numbers. We chase size. We chase money. We chase looks. And we call it God. I don't. I call it Las Vegas. You want money? You want size? You want numbers? It's there. And it's the most spiritual city on the planet from the devil himself. But the American church has got to be different. The American church has got to see, man, if I don't see the fruit, I'm out of here. And the fruit that remains, and the fruit in their life as well. Let me tell you something. If people don't produce fruit, they'll never produce fruit in you. You'll never go past the master. Is anybody listening? Jesus walks by, doesn't he? Fig tree. Looks at the fig tree. It's the season for figs. It's beautiful. It's got great leaves. The color is fabulous. He walks up to the fig tree and looks for figs, and there's no figs. And he says, this tree is worthless. And he curses the tree, and it shrivels up before their eyes and dies. What's he trying to say? Anything that doesn't have fruit is worthless. Why do we follow where there's no fruit? Jesus makes a statement in Matthew, the 7th chapter. He says, you will what? Know them by their what? Fruit. And we never look for fruit. We look for giftings. We look for charisma. We look for a few insights. A few people that know what to say at the right side and the right time. And then they mislead us, and then we're mad at God. Jesus says in John, the 7th chapter, just pop it up for me. He says, do not judge according to appearance. The word judge means to discern or to figure out. Do not judge. Do not figure out or try to come up with a solution according to appearance. He says, but judge with righteous judgment. In other words, is there the will of God and the way of God in the person who's speaking into my life or the church that I attend? Now, let me tell you something. Please hear me. Every one of you. If this church doesn't represent Jesus Christ and you don't see the fruit in this place, then go find some place that has it. Because I want you to know God has called you to be a fruit inspector. And we got fruit for you to inspect in this house. But judge us by righteous judgment. Is it the will of God and is it the way of God? Those two criteria. That's what righteousness is all about. First thing you and I have got to do, in other words, so that we're not tricked, is we need to look for and see fruit. The second thing, can I give you the second thing that what we're looking for? Yes. The second thing that we're looking for is we need to look for the heart. Because everything that's done from God will come from a person with a heart. Not a person with great looks, but a heart. Not a person who's incredibly intelligent or gifted or has got all kinds of degrees, all kinds of diplomas on the walls. We judge them as our leaders when in fact they miss the heart. It's all about the heart. And sometimes we're so silly, we even marry people that look good on the outside, but on the inside they're corrupt. Got silent in this church just now. I remember when I fell in love with my Debbie. 4 kids and 10 grandchildren later. I look back at it now. Truly, when I met her, I didn't love her. I didn't even see her as pretty. There was something about Deborah that I saw that was unbelievably unique. Everywhere we went, she carried her Bible. If I breathed wrong, she was preaching to me. If I checked someone else out, she brought up, there's no signs of evil. She would correct me. The woman had a heart for God. After I married her, I realized I not only got a heart, I got a babe. I mean, next year she's going to be 60 years old. And Grandpa, after all these years, loves Grandma more today than then. Not only because she has a heart, but she's good looking. She's really good looking. I never in my life seen anybody prettier than her. What a preaching machine. She wakes up in the middle of the night, starts preaching to me. You know, I'm so spiritual, I say, shut up, woman. Go look in the mirror, preach in the mirror. I'm sleeping. She says, we ought to get up and pray. I ain't getting up. I'll pray with you in the morning. Go pray in another room. She's gone. Guys, I'm talking about on the inside. If we look more at the inside of people than the outside, how many mistakes would we have not been involved in? I love this, the heart. Without the heart, it just doesn't work. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 12, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So again, this is really God speaking to all of us. In verse number 12, he says this of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 12, he says this, for we do not commend ourselves again to you. I have to prove myself to you again and again. But give you opportunity to boast on our behalf that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in the heart. In other words, listen, let me tell you something. There's people that boast because they look good and they got all the tricks, they got all the trade, they got the people appreciation, they got all the numbers, they're a celebrity. And then there are those that have a heart. A heart will display compassion. A heart will be faithful. The heart will care about the broken down and poor and understand with mercy. The heart will care about the condition of the church, not the church caring about the condition of the preacher. Most churches are out there to supply the needs of the preacher instead of the preacher supplying the need of the church. Now, I'm not here to criticize and judge, but we all need to watch ourselves to make sure that what we do, we don't do for personal gain, but we do from our heart because we love the Lord more than we love the stuff. Is anybody listening? Without it, my friends, we just fail as a church, and we learn to keep our eyes on the fruit and look for the heart of mercy and compassion, caring, because that's where God is displayed on a constant basis. Wow. He goes on in verse number 17 of the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. In fact, let's take a look back up at verse 15, and he says these words. And he died for all, and those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him. Verse 16 says, therefore, From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We only care for Jesus. If the flesh is exalted and Jesus is not, let me out. If this is about a preacher, then let me out. It's never been about a preacher. It's been about Jesus. He's the only one that went to the cross and died for you and I. And he's the only one worthy of being spoken of in the house of God. And he's the only one that's seen as the senior high priest and the senior pastor of every church on the planet. Jesus. And when the people start to see this, all of a sudden life starts to change. Because we're looking for something. We don't want to be tricked. We don't want to be like these Galatians that are off track and have someone have to come and pound on the desk and tell us there's people deceiving you, trying to get you someplace you don't need to go and be something you don't need to be, so that gets you away from the blessings that God has for you. So we're looking at something. What to look for. Are you ready for number three? I love this. Number one, remember, what was it? Fruit. Number two, what was it? The heart. What's number three? Listen to this. The price. There will always be a price paid for what you do for God. There is no sugar daddy floating around on a cosmic cloud with a magic wand waving it over your head that'll drop blessings on you. You will pay a price for whatever it is that you want to accomplish or whatever it is you want to do with God. I'm here to tell you something. Everything starts with a sacrificial price, including your salvation. That Jesus himself, without a doubt, 100% paid the price for redemption. But salvation will cost you your life. Because you can't hold it and give it up to him at the same time. Somebody needs to love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to tell you the truth. Yes, Jesus paid 100% of the price for redemption, but salvation will cost you you. You'll have to give up you and receive him. And that's what this is all about. You cannot walk on both sides of the fence. It doesn't work. And everything will cost you something. If you want to lose weight, it'll cost you going trips to the refrigerator. If you want a great business, it's going to cost you hours of hard work, beating the path until someone else, trusting in the grace of God to open doors for you. If you want to have a great marriage, it's going to cost you yourself to love your wife as Christ loved the church. The church wasn't so good. Yet he still went to the cross for them. That's called sacrifice. It'll cost you something. Because without a great expense, there'll never be a great reward. And I want you to know something. The greater the expense, the greater the reward. It'll cost you something. I want to raise my kids, then you better invest Christ into them in every way you can. I'm not talking about investing the soccer field or the baseball diamond. I'm talking about investing Christ into them so they'll grow to know Jesus, not know how to make a run around the end of the field. Doesn't mean you can't do that. But it means that Jesus is first. You want to have a great marriage, you better get ready to invest in the marriage. You invest God. That's what you invest. God's ways, God's will. Nothing gets done without the price being paid. There's no ministry on the planet that's of any value at all that someone didn't pay the price. Yes, Jesus on the cross. But there's also a man who paid the price, or a woman that paid the price for that to come to pass. Every time, I don't even go through it. The chairs that you're sitting in and what we've done over the 35 years. I'm not going there because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. But I'm going to say this. You better believe there was a price paid. And you always check out the price. Because without it, it doesn't work. Paul the Apostle had a price to pay. My goodness sakes alive, he meets God on the road to Damascus. He's thinking he's doing the right thing by persecuting the church when he's doing the wrong thing. He had the right passion, but the wrong will. God meets and says, "Why do you persecute me, Saul of Tarsus?" He was the head of the synagogue at Tarsus. God changes his name to Paul, makes him a great apostle, writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. It didn't just happen. God spoke to him about doing things that cost him everything. And I love to hear this because you're right there in 2 Corinthians. Anyway, go with me to 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. Starting, if you will, in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, this time verse number 7. Listen to what Paul writes. We're talking about checking out the price that it's going to cost you to get something done. You want to be happy? You're going to have to pay a price called submerging yourself in the peace of Christ. Every day, casting your cares on He that careth. Whatever it is that you want, it'll cost you something. And the investment is always the ways of the Lord. Verse number 7 of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." I know I could build a bigger church if I become the hero. But then I have a bunch of ignorant people following me that don't know Christ. And I choose not to be the hero, but to make Jesus the hero. And I may not have the biggest church, but I'm going to tell you something. We'll have the healthiest church. Verse number 8 comes along. Tell me if these aren't great verses. Talk about a price that's being paid. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed." Don't you know there's pressures on him? Stop and think about it. He's got a mandate from God. He says God wants him to preach the gospel of grace to a lost and dying world. Start with the Gentiles. Hello? You got to be kidding, God. He says, "Yes, and then I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to sink all the boats that you get on. I'm going to put you on an island and get snake bit. And even your own brothers are going to beat you 3 times with rods." That's 39 times. That's over 100 beatings that he will get. He will be in prison and from prison. Don't you think he was hard pressed? My God, let me out of here. I don't understand this. Peter doesn't have this problem. God, John doesn't have this problem. I don't understand this. What am I doing? You want me to preach and here I am in prison. Because in a prison, God can take the words of a man and anoint him and change the whole world. Did you know today more people read the writing of Paul than any other human being on the planet every day? 2,000 years later, from a prison cell. Yes, that's why he goes on to make this statement. He says, "We are perplexed." Can you imagine how perplexed he must have been? God, I don't understand why this has to work this way. Why am I getting beaten? Why are my feet in the stocks? Why are people, listen to this, 40 days fasting to kill me in Jerusalem? What's that all about? This is a lousy ministry. Give it to somebody else. He had to pay the price for it. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. I love this. Verse 12 says it like this. "So then death is working in us, but life in you." That's called sacrifice. Man, there'll always be a cost, my friends. So in order for you not to be tricked and off thing and just go to church and be a brain dead state and think that you're going to make it and think that you're going to produce the goodness of God or change the world that you're living in, you've got to come into a house of God and understand and check it out well as to whether or not there is fruit, whether or not there's a heart and whether or not there is a what? Price. And with a price, it shows that God is anointed and makes it happen. Go back with me to Galatians in the 6th chapter. Pop it up on verse number 12, if you will. Let's take a look at it together. Now the verse starts to take shape. Listen to the verse now. For as many as have desire to make a good showing in the flesh, those would compel you to be circumcised to follow the law, only that they may not suffer the persecution of Christ. In other words, they don't want to pay the price. Verse 13 comes along and says this. For not yet those that are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. And that is a warning for every one of us not to look at the outside, but to look at the inside. Now, I think the outside ought to be good because it represents Jesus Christ. I think the outside ought to be so good that it attracts the people. But it's not the outside we stop with. We're too smart for that. We're looking for the fruit. We're looking for the heart. And we're looking for the price. When I see that, now you can speak into my life. It'll be God. Now listen. If God spoke to you today, not me. I'm just the mailman. If God spoke to you today with your mouth and with your hands, let's give Him a shout. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.